Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Before I get started, I do want to thank Hannah Grant, who's become vocalist for us. Thank you, Hannah, so much for singing. I've been demoted to the bass, and Travis was promoted to the guitar, which he's better on both, so thank you, Travis. Memorial Day conjures up memories for all of us. My dad was in the Army Air Corps in World War II. All I know about his service was that he entered the war kind of late, spent most of his time in the South Pacific. Oh yeah, and he met my mother at a USO dance a few months, and after a few months, this is when he was stationed at Scott for a little bit, and a few months later they eloped. On their way out to the West Coast, my parents found a Lutheran chapel in all places, Salt Lake City, and there they got married. Dad never really talked about the war. It was really hard to get things out of him. And I'm not sure why, but my best guess is that was something they'd rather just forget. They wanted to forget what was behind and look forward to a time of peace. As a child, all I remember about Memorial Day was gathering at our church's favorite park in Ramona, California. It was right at the foot of these amazing granite mountains, just a spectacular place. And we would climb on these large boulders of granite, play a multi-generational softball game or a variety of other games. And our parents would sit around the picnic tables all afternoon, talking about God knows what. But over the years, I've gained an appreciation for Memorial Day and what it means. Harry Drews was the elder that I first met at Hope Lutheran Church in Mount Carmel, my first call. Harry was an outstanding guy. He was outgoing, and he was friendly. He was a septuagenarian who taught every kid in the church how to do the pinky shake. Just an amazing guy. Everybody loved him. Harry was also in World War II. He had fallen on a Japanese grenade and lost his leg. Harry had trouble sleeping at night because of what they called phantom pains. In other words, he could wake up in the middle of the night screaming for the pain that was in the leg that was no longer there. He would have to go to the hospital, and he did many times to the emergency. For me, Harry was a constant reminder of the extraordinary sense of commitment and service I saw in many veterans. Throughout my years at Blessed Savior, I've been invited to offer a prayer at many retirement ceremonies. And the stories told by commanders and generals about some of the people among whom are sitting around you right now, the stories would make the hair stand up on your neck. Split-second decisions were made that saved their own lives and the lives of others, many others. Bob Voss, some of you remember, who has gone to his eternal rest, was a wing commander in World War II. Bob was our congregational president for a time. Bob was a great guy. He also was friendly and generous to a fault. But I really came to appreciate Bob when my son Eric and his friend Kyle Kesting had an assignment from school, and they asked if they could interview Colonel Voss. So I asked him, and he was more than glad to do so. The boys did the interview. I manned the video camera, and we went to his house, and he took us into the place called the War Room. It was filled with memorabilia from World War II. He talked about the pictures on the wall, the planes he had flown, the people with whom he had served. And I remember Eric asking him the question, "Did you lose any friends?" He wept as he told them story after story. You see, Bob had flown 35 missions over Germany. They had a very small and exclusive club for guys who made it that many times, because so many planes and so many men did not come back. These and many others throughout our history gave their very best, and we are reminded that we must do the same. Some died serving something bigger than themselves, such as the transcendent ideals that make America the country we cherish. For us as Christians, this day should have a deeper and more stirring significance. Many of the same values that our nation hopes to nurture and the traits military members are challenged to embody are consistent with those perfectly modeled for us by our Savior. Jesus was the quintessential example of service and sacrifice. In his letter to the Roman church, St. Paul said, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." But before Jesus died, he lived. Boy, did he live. To the consternation of those who were watching him, he invited himself to the home of a hated tax collector named Zacchaeus. He challenged the hypocrisy of religious leaders by coming to the rescue of a woman of ill repute. He exposed their meaninglessness of their religiosity by healing the sick on the Sabbath. And he challenged bigotry and insensitivity by publicly engaging in conversation with a Samaritan woman that his society considered unworthy of his time. Yes, Jesus was unique. As Christians, Christ is our model citizen. Does that mean citizenship in this kingdom, after all? In our kingdom here on earth, does that mean that we're proud of it or not grateful for it? We are indeed grateful for the country we live in. And while on earth, there's no other place on earth that I would rather call home. And like most Americans, I'm here by virtue of circumstances over which I had no control. I can't explain it. I can just be thankful for it. As American Christians, we are indeed twice blessed. But we should not get those confused. America, as you know, is an imperfect place, an unfinished project, an ideal we work toward to make a reality. Our citizenship in the kingdom of God is a gift extended to us freely by God's grace. Paul told the Ephesians Christians, "It is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The society in which Jesus lived also had many problems. There was hypocrisy, bigotry, poverty, and the oppression of the weak by the strong, and he condemned all of that. Though some would argue, America is probably a better place for even the most marginalized of our citizens. But we know it is not always what it should be for all of us. As Christians, regardless of our earthly citizenship, this is part of the work he left us to do. It is our duty as Americans, yes it is, to do those things that Jesus has called us to do. God's providence is such a tricky thing to nail down, and I'm not always sure how it works. I can't explain why those extraordinary individuals we now call our founding fathers came together when they did. They created a country based on their belief that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with their, by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Their belief in these universal, eternal truths, however imperfect their understanding and expression of those truths, yielded a society in which people of faith can function with more freedom than anywhere else in the world. Does this mean that God favors America? We often hear people express this belief. But what the Word of God says is that He favors all people who rely on Him, who place their trust in Him, who proclaim Him as their God, regardless of their earthly citizenship. Does that ensure their health and wealth and ease of life? No, but it does ensure us of the opportunity to be His sons and daughters, to tell others of the salvation that was freely given to us, to care for the widow and the orphan, and to share in Christ's suffering, and finally, to live with Him eternally. I think it was the American writer Samuel Clemens, who is better known as Mark Twain, once said, "We should give loyalty to our country always, and to the government when it deserves it." I believe he meant that our only true loyalty is to those eternal principles to which governments aspire but do not always demonstrate. There may well come a time when our government takes a path we cannot in good conscience follow, and we must stand where God stands. But it is right that we devote time to remember and honor those fellow citizens who gave their all for us. We are forever in their debt. Most Americans will never serve in the military. Actually, less than 1% of our population do so. And even among those of us who do not, very, very few of us are asked to give that last full measure of devotion, to use Lincoln's words. So what is the question for us on this day as we remember those Americans who died on our behalf? I believe there's a question we need to ask ourselves, and that is, for what shall we live? For what shall we live? Whether or not we wear the uniform of our country, we all have a service to offer, a service to those ideals that reflect God's universal truths and that our American ancestors captured in the formation of this country. When Jesus left this earth to take His place at the right hand of the Father, He left us, His bride, the church, to carry on His work. So when evil strikes us in the form of a school shooting, for example, or when nature unleashes its fury and devastates property and lives as it's been doing in the Midwest, when children suffer, when people are hungry and homeless, and we ask, where's God? We must be there and have them see Him in us. We must bring His comfort and healing to our world. When we live lives of service to those around us, we honor the God who saved us, and we honor all those who gave the last full measure to secure for us the things we enjoy in this nation. Someday we will find ourselves, I believe, at the end of our days, and we will look back. And we will ask ourselves what it was all for. At that moment, we will all want to recall a life of service to something larger than ourselves, to children who needed our teaching and our example of service, to people to whom we gave a hand up in a time of need, to friends and colleagues whom we comforted in times of sorrow, lives with whom we shared the many physical and spiritual blessings that have been bestowed upon us. If we live that life of service, we will have fulfilled the challenge of the Savior when he said, "Whatever you did for one of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me." So on Memorial Day, this weekend, but also for every day, we need to ask ourselves, for what shall we live? How are we doing at fulfilling not just the ideals of the American forefathers, but those universal values set in place by the one who made us in his image, who sent his only begotten Son to secure our salvation, who made us free to serve righteous causes? How do we, the living, honor those who gave the last full measure of devotion? Terry and Beth Burgess are with us today, this morning. And as many of you know, their son was killed in an ambush in Afghanistan in 2011. And while they were in deep mourning, they searched for help and found little, realizing there were many others out there just like them who were grieving over lost ones while in the service of our country. They created a Gold Star Parents Retreat. This retreat is cost-free to the Gold Star parents. I'm going to ask you to do something from the pulpit that I have never, to my knowledge, done before. I'm going to ask you to get a book or two. Donations, $20. It's not a huge expense. But if that's too much, please make a small donation. Any size will help. And come back to hear the story at 3 o'clock today if you're able, how they turned their grief into an opportunity to honor God and their son while helping others with their grief. Through pain and suffering, they found their mission. And I think Paul's first verse of Romans chapter 12 really sums it up well. It's a verse we should all hold dearly. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Let us do the same to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.